I don't know if you like walking along the beach. God, that sounds a bit like an opening line of a dating app, I know. But if you do like walking along the beach, and perhaps if you're lucky, if you keep your eyes down, you might find a large shell still intact, maybe some flotsam and jetsam washed up on the floor, on the shore. I mean, mostly it's microplastics these days, let's be fair. Maybe some smooth cuttlefish. What about someone's ashes? Yeah, that's right, someone's ashes. This week, a woman walking her dog stumbled across an urn full of ashes that had washed onto a Gold Coast beach. Now, the man's name and age were actually printed on the label, so now she's trying to track down the man's family. Apparently, he was cremated in South Australia in 2014. So how on earth did this urn end up on a Gold Coast beach? I mean, ashes are kind of supposed to be scattered into the ocean without the urn. So what happened here? Did a relative accidentally drop the entire container into the water instead? I don't know if you've ever been the custodian of someone's ashes. It's a big responsibility. I'd love to hear what you did with them. There can be some pretty colourful last wishes. People can either be, well, very sincere about it, but also pretty humorous. What send-offs have you witnessed over the years? Have they been a bit unorthodox, shall we say? I'd love to hear your stories. 0418226576 is the text line. You can message me now. This one, my last wishes, never to be a problem to anybody again. No memorial, no funeral. Ashes tossed off the Blue Mountains cliffs. My wife and kids already have the instructions. Well, it's good to be prepared because you're not going to be around to make sure that I do it. Well, Beck Lyons has had no doubt a few of these stories over her years as a funeral director in Tasmania, and she's the president of the Natural Death Advocacy Alliance. Beck, you've probably lost count of how many funerals you've officiated over or attended. What do people usually do with ashes? Do they just throw them into the Gold Coast waters in the urn without scattering them?
I'd say that was, you know, the product of either a slip, an accident, or someone actually not being, really well educated and having the right information about how to do a scattering of ashes. Because the whole urn doesn't go in the water unless you've got a water burial urn.
What is a water burial urn now?
So there are different types. Some are made out of sand and gelatin. Others are made out of other material that will, disintegrate in the water, usually over 12 to 48 hours. The ashes are usually contained in, a cornstarch-based plastic bag. Wow. So that also just disintegrates once it's in the water. Yeah, so, I mean, in those cases, the whole urn does go in, but no, not if it's a metal container.
Wow, that is incredible. I didn't know that people were catering. There's a market for these sort of biodegradable urns. So what are some of the rather specific instructions that relatives or friends have been commanded to follow through in your line of work? You must have heard a few.
Yeah, and you know what? There's whole markets to them. So there's make my ashes into diamonds. There's shoot me from fireworks. There's, you know, all of these sort of stuff. But what people don't really understand is that all of those sort of weird and wonderful things only use a very tiny portion of a person's ashes. And then there's all this remaining ash that families then have to decide what to do with.
Right. Okay. I didn't know. So it's only part of the... I must say, I made a documentary a few years ago about a fireworks funeral, and this lovely family sent up their mother into this cold blue sky night, and kaboom went Nana or mother, I think it was.
Yeah.
But of course, we were all downwind, and there was a funny taste in the air. It's a bit like that Big Lebowski film. I'm not sure if that really happens if the wind is not... let's say, going in your direction, that can be a little bit awkward.
Yeah, and it's going to be awkward for, you know, the guy who you read out who wants his ashes off the Blue Mountains cliffs. There is actually a story about ashes going off a cliff in the Blue Mountains and the updraft sending it all back over everyone standing there.
So what about people that want their ashes scattered on land that's not public? I recall, I think it was this year, maybe last year, someone scattered some ashes on the hallowed turf of the MCG. There must be a veritable minefield of OH&S obstacles to overcome here.
So, human ashes, untreated or in their raw form, have the pH of about bleach. So, you know, they're not great for the environment. And not, you know, you can't spread it around like fertilizer. It doesn't work that way. We always say if people are going to put ashes back into the earth, you dig a very small trench, lay them out, scatter them out. So you're spreading out those bone particles and the ash remains, and then you cover it over so the wind doesn't pick it up. Having said that, people do surreptitiously scatter ashes in public places or, you know, places like cricket grounds where they're actually not allowed to be. But it's not the best way to return ashes to the earth. It's a beautiful narrative, and that's where people get stuck. They love the narrative of, you know, putting their remains back into the earth. But you need to treat ashes a certain way. They won't just, you know, grow a tree.
See, I think it's important to talk about these practicalities because when the time comes, you're grieving. You probably don't think about the pH balance of, you know, your relatives' ashes and how they might affect the environment. One of the producers on RN Drive knew a funeral director who kept jars of ashes more than 10 years old under the kitchen sink because no one ever came to pick them up. Is this a reality, these unclaimed ashes?
Absolutely. There's a funeral home I used to work in and they had ashes back to the late 1950s, early 60s. Most funeral homes have, you know, particularly the bigger ones will have a policy where they might keep them for 2, 3, 4, 5 years and then they'll do like a mass burial or a mass scattering and they'll just kind of record where that happens for posterity, obviously. But yeah, some of the older and usually the more family-owned, private kind of funeral homes end up with ashes being kept for a long time.
You're listening
and people don't realise.
Yeah, well, I mean, if the ashes go back 50 or 60 years, I mean, very few people would still be around to know who's inside. If you've just tuned in, Beck Lyons is a funeral director. We're talking about maybe some of the untalked about practicalities when it comes to last wishes. If you've just joined me, 0418226576 is the text line. Beck, being in the funeral industry for over a decade as you have, you must have seen some of the changing kinds of trends. I have to ask you about parting stones. What's a parting stone?
So I did a Churchill Fellowship looking at the alternative relationships to death and ceremony through technologies and the way that we're handling it. And one of the things I discovered on that fellowship was actually these parting stones. And it was only introduced into the market in 2019, but it's a brand new form of human remains. And what it does, it takes cremated remains and puts them through a ceramic process and creates about 40 stones that are completely sterile, but you can hold them, you can, you know, paint them, decorate them, you can leave them in places in the environment, you can give them to all the grandkids and the best mates and the, you know, everyone can have a stone of your person.
Wow. Yeah, I suppose like anything, you know, funerary practices kind of have to keep pace with the times. And many cultures and religions, you know, have a send-off for loved ones that can be very hands-on, from preparing and dressing the deceased to passing the bones between grieving families, I believe. That's the case in Shintoism. What about Western culture, though? I mean, have we sort of, I don't know, made the process of death a little bit more human than it used to be? I hate to use that word, but a little bit more tactile, perhaps.
Yeah, so in the last 120 years, we've lost over 5,000 years of knowledge about caring for our dead. And largely that's because we've handed it to industry. But what we're starting to see is a resurgence in people wanting to do things DIY. And that's not just in the death that space, that's, you know, in life in general. But what we're seeing in end of life is people wanting to die at home, people wanting to stay at home when they do die, people wanting to be cared for or wanting to give care to their people rather than hand their people over to industry. So home funeral is something that, you know, we're seeing a bit of a resurgence of now.
Wow, DIY funerals, there you go. Well, certainly, thank you for the work you do. I think it's an important thing, and it's sort of important to talk about these sorts of things in a kind of, well, maybe a demystified way, so that when the time comes, we might know, well, about the pH balance of ashes. I don't think I'll forget that one in a hurry. Beck Lyons is a funeral director in Tasmania and the president of the Natural Death Advocacy Alliance. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.